Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed every second of playing with him and being his teammate. I think he's one of the smarter baseball players I've played with. He's really good. Just the little things and his approach and game plan. And, obviously, was shocked, but it's well above my pay grade, what I'm supposed to do.
Alex Bregman with some love for Rafi Devers. I don't know how much I buy any of that. He's like, great teammate, smartest teammate I ever had. What did you say about it?
Great teammate.
You're honing in on, we all have
these verbal crutches. It's very difficult. Mine's, I mean. When someone points out one to you, I was talking to my agent
a few months ago. I have a bunch of these. Oh, you were talking, your agent was telling you this?
And he told me, I was looking at something you did. You were saying something really annoying. I forget what it was, but you wouldn't stop saying it. When I remember, I'll tell you.
Nice. That's good. Oh, yeah, get back to me on that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's real helpful. Thank you. I have like five of them. Like is one of them. You just heard it there. But you think Bregman is kind of sneaky ripping all of his teammates if he thinks Devers is the best one he's ever had.
Yeah. If Devers is the smartest teammate that you've ever had, I feel like maybe that's a little disrespectful to some of the people that he played with in Houston.
Well, he's like, none of us in Houston were actually very good. We were just all cheating. We all knew what was happening.
What about the guy who came up with the trash can thing?
Yeah, what about that guy? Where is he? So when it comes to Alex Bregman, I would allow for this. I love the signing. I think he's a winner. I think he's a better player than Devers. So I'm on board with the Bregman experience. I will point out, even while Bregman was producing, the team was underachieving. The team sucked. It's possible he's been part of the problem. I don't think that. I haven't heard anything about that. There's been no reporting on it. But I would allow for he got here and the team's been dysfunctional all year. I can't totally rule him out. And I guess I heard this on my drive in. I guess people have been calling Greg's show and saying they're annoyed with Bregman not being back earlier. Like he's really taking his time, maybe because he's looking to opt out or he's worried about his next contract, which I would argue getting on the field would probably help him more. But I guess some fans, I think it's an extreme minority, but some are starting to get a little restless about Bregman and his return.
Well, I think they set it up, the expectations, kind of strangely, because when he first got hurt, the word was this is so much like the prior injury he had that kept him out for months. And then pretty soon after that, Cora came out and said, actually, we're really pleased with how he's coming along. And he seems like he's going to be healthy sooner rather than later, much better than we initially expected. And now, so since then, it's kind of felt like a waiting game. And so I understand why fans would get frustrated by that. But to your point, why would holding out give him leverage? Like, if he's intending to go be a free agent. They think that if he waits around, the Red Sox are going to be so desperate to get him back from injury that they're going to rework his contract right now.
I think the argument, and again, I don't agree with it, but look, I don't really know what's going on.
I don't think that's enough leverage for that.
The idea would be, I'm going to get myself fully healthy. In other words, if he had a longer-term deal, if he had 5 years guaranteed, maybe there'd be more interest on his end in rushing back to help the team, as opposed to, well, no, I'm going to get myself all the way to 100%. I'm not coming back a second early or a day early or a game early. I'm going to get myself 100%, so I am 100% when I come back. I don't re-injure anything, and then I can hit the market again. I mean, I think that would be the school of thought. I don't buy into it, but I think that would be the school
of thought. So they think he's like being selfish by looking out for number one first instead of trying to rush back and help this team that's just on the brink of success. They just need Bregman to come back and show them the way.
I mean,
even if he's still hurting a little bit. Come on now.
I think they need him.
Yeah, they definitely need him.
But at the same time, when he was out there, it's not like they were great. So I
also
think,
if he's not healthy, I understand rehabbing a little longer.
Yeah.
If you're not healthy, you're not healthy. Like, why would he push it right now? It's not even July.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want you to be Trevor Story playing extra games in Worcester. Okay. I don't want that.
We don't want him getting too comfortable in Worcester, for sure.
Or like Tristan Cassis, who was like taking his time in Worcester. Like, I don't need that.
What are they getting in Worcester? What is like the local deal there that they're getting in with that famous hot dog place?
Well, I'll tell you what. We liked Polar Park when we were there. Polar Park was nice.
It's beautiful.
The area around it was pretty nice. So maybe I'm sleeping on...
Is it nicer than Boston?
Maybe I'm sleeping on Worcester. Well, I don't know. Ask Nick. Why are they all hanging in Worcester? What's their deal? Why are they all hanging there?
Oh, they upgraded the area. It's actually kind of nice now.
So there you go. Kind of nice.
Actually kind of nice.
It's a Dollar Tree about a mile away.
You heard it from the Worcester native there.
No, seriously.
It's actually kind of nice.
What is happening in Worcester that is like so great that these guys...
They renovated Kelly Square. You can get through there now.
As opposed to what?
Did you hear that? Kelly Square was a nightmare.
Close your eyes and just hope you can get through the intersection.
You close your eyes when you go through an intersection?
Oh, that one you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you hope and pray is what you do.
I don't know. I guess they got to get Fenway Corners up quickly so that these guys will see how nice Boston is compared to Worcester.
That's true. Get that underway. There are three games out. This is right on the line. Keith and I talked about this last week where I think they fall much behind that, certainly by the deadline, but even by the All-Star break, call it. If you're more than three games out, and there's a lot of teams between you and a playoff spot right now, which is another complication, but three games on some level feels manageable. You have a hot week, you're right back in a playoff spot. Just like 2 weeks ago, you were in a playoff spot, and that was after the Devers trade, FYI.
Yeah, the wild card spot that they created years ago.
So, fine, but I'm not telling
you. It is, I'm just saying. It's easier to make the playoffs than ever. And it's harder for the Red Sox over the last couple years.
Oh, well, that's true. They keep expanding the playoffs, and the Red Sox keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Keep saying nope.
That's a fair point. But, you know, when it comes to the idea of where the line is, if they should buy or sell, like right now today, let's say they're in the same exact spot, they're three games out. Should the Red Sox be buying or selling as we approach the trade deadline if this is what they're going to be?
I would say a light sell.
A light sell.
A light sell. Like you're not selling Duran.
Okay.
You're not making some big sweeping move like that. You'd sell Chapman. That makes sense. He's on an expiring deal. You're probably, if you're still in this position, not a team that's going to bring him back next year anyway and rework that. So send him out, get something back, a light sell like that.
Okay, so Chapman would be the piece. You're not moving Duran. I mean, if you tell me the return on Duran, I've been saying this now for really since the Devers trade, I would do it in the right deal. You know, the Mariners want to get stupid and give you one of their starters. Same thing with the Marlins. Like, if you can get, like, a real quality starter to go along with Crochet and balance out your roster a little better, and now your outfield is some combination of Anthony, Rafaela, and Abreu, and now your roster fits better together, maybe.
But to me, Jones, that
but
would be...
But I'm not itching to trade him, and I would be looking to add. I would not be looking to subtract. I would be looking to add.
Wouldn't that be such a signal of, like, we're done with this season?
Yeah.
Because what you'd be selling it as,
well,
there's
not,
no more... There's no,
no,
there, there's no more log jam in the outfield. Look, this is... We're refocusing on the young guys here.
But if you get a real starter, that's not a white flag. If you get prospects back, Keith said this last week, if you're trading Duran for prospects like you did with Devers,
that's
waving the
white flag.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you're getting, I could be talked into anything with this team. I thought they were going to be in the World Series, for God's sakes. I thought they were going to be a good team this year. Well, last year, this year, most years. So I thought they were going to go on a run this year. I thought it was going to be different. So maybe me saying I could be talked into it is stupid and obvious because I could be talked into anything with this team. But I could be talked into a better roster and a playoff run by trading Duran for a big league pitcher and some help on the big league roster. If you're doing it for more minor leaguers, that is waving the white flag. Let's go to Sam in Maine. Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I want to start by saying the Red Sox should buy at the deadline. It starts with trading Devers. That was done for a variety of reasons. We don't know exactly what those reasons are. We can speculate on what the plan is going forward. But with all that cap space, you can spend now the deadline, take on another player's contract, or hold off and extend players that you already have, or a combination of both. But regardless of this team is a playoff team, which I think they still have a chance of squeezing in better than last year by far, it's important to add a deadline to help improve the team for next year.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to take on a big contract at the deadline.
Okay, are fans going to be really disappointed when they realize at the deadline that they're not using this financial flexibility from Devers' contract being lifted to buy a bunch of players there? Or buy a big player there?
I think fans will be upset if they don't add. I don't think it's... Maybe I shouldn't speak for all of them. I'm not under the illusion they're going to add a big salary at the deadline. I don't think they're
illusion
going to.
Illusion tried delusion.
Yeah.
I'm not delusional about that.
I also don't think they're going to be a big player for like the Kyle Tuckers of the world in free agency. So I don't even know if they're going to turn around and use that money. I'm not bracing for that. I understand what this ownership group is and what they do. I don't approve of it. I don't think they're going to turn around and spend that money anytime soon. If they do, I'll give them credit. I don't expect it. But they should add big league players at the deadline to try to push this team. If this is the spot they're in and they don't completely fall off a cliff, which admittedly is in the range of outcomes leading up to the All-Star break, if they're in this area, three games out of a playoff spot, they should be buying. That's what I think.
There is a part of me that's just curious as to what this team would look like if you actually added at the trade deadline, because we've seen so many times chorus teams just check out when they have these bad or just lackluster trade deadlines. So if you actually added a big piece, would the team like take off to the moon? That's why I would like to just, there's a morbid curiosity for me where, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Is it binary, by the way, to kind of characterize the Devers trade by the end of the year? I mean, we're going to follow it for years and years and years. But is it binary where if they make the playoffs, the Devers trade was worth it? If they miss the playoffs, they messed up?
No.
No.
No?
No. There's too much context around it. Like, especially if they make the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, we should all look at Breslow and go, you know, you made the right move. No?
If they miss the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, they probably would have made it with Devers.
Like, if they miss the playoffs and Devers absolutely stinks out there, then you can't look at it and say, like, that was the wrong move. Unless you think unless someone from Raffy's camp comes out and says that the trade destroyed him, like mentally and emotionally.
He still doesn't play in the field there, right? Did I miss that over the weekend? Did he go to first base?
I think he's still
DHing. Oh, interesting. Because I thought he was going to play wherever they wanted him to. I thought that's
only
what he was going to do.
He's learning, Jones. He's learning.
Only when they need him.
Christ. So anyway, to me, it's pretty simple. They make the playoffs. Everybody who hated the trade can shut up. And if they miss it, I'm going to be wrong. Like, I think that's pretty simple. Maybe there are other areas, or if they make the playoffs and Devers goes and wins a World Series, well, then there's more context to it. I get it. If they miss the playoffs, but they played well down the stretch, maybe there's more of a gray area to it. But sitting here today, it's pretty simple. Make the playoffs without Devers. Everybody can shut up crying about the trade. If you don't, you're going to have to deal with this, and it's going to continue to be a story. Bradford wrote about this today. He's like, if the Red Sox were just winning, the Devers trade would vanish into the background. But they keep losing. It keeps getting worse and worse, and it remains right in their face until they can start to turn things around. If they don't, they're going to be dealing with this for the next couple of months, and Breslow could pay for it with his job. 617-779-7937. More thoughts on the Red Sox coming up. Let's get back to the Bruins as well. Is there a potential reunion with Brad Marchand? Well, I should say it differently. There is a potential reunion with Brad Marchand, according to Pierre LeBrun. Are you buying that Brad Marchand could come back? Would you even want him back?
Jones and Keith. Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Keith here on WEEI. It is Mego in for Keith today. We're taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll get to you in a moment. But Pierre LeBrun thinks a potential reunion could be had between the Bruins and Brad Marchand. He says, as we await to see Brad Marchand's decision with Florida, several teams, including Boston and Toronto, Darren Drager added Utah as well, the they all hope to talk come Tuesday. NHL free agency starts less than 24 hours from now, tomorrow. If he doesn't re-sign with the Cup champs, LeBrun writes, the Bruins would certainly be open to bringing him back. The Bruins would be open to bringing him back. No reporting on the other way around. If he leaves Florida, the choices sound like Utah, which I imagine would be the high bid. That's the only way they'd get him. Toronto and Boston. If there are four teams truly in the mix for Marchand, I imagine Boston is fourth out of four. And again, the reporting from LeBrun is that they want him back, not that he wants to come back. Good point.
They're open to it.
Oh, so was that Marchand to Don Sweeney?
To Sweeney.
Yeah, let me hear that one more time.
Go pound sand.
Yeah, that's what I think he would say. But yeah, it's not even that they want him back. It's that they would be, quote unquote, open to it. Good point.
Just open to it. You know, we love Marchie. Just bring him back if he'll take $5 million. $5 million, does that sound good? $5 million?
I don't think he'd take $5 million from Florida. Like, I don't think he's taking much of a discount from Florida. Personally, we'll find out.
At this point in his career, it would have to be because he wants to be part of something historic in Florida and have this big three-peat, and it'll be like a crazy thing for his legacy. Otherwise, even that's a stretch. Like, otherwise, why wouldn't he go to one of these other teams where he's going to get $8 million or more? He's just not going to get that in Boston. I don't think it makes sense for either side, by the way, because Boston, their whole thing now is they're trying to lay the foundation for this next era and build around Pastrnak and these young draft picks. And we both like the draft moves that they made for the most part. So, like, it feels like it would backslide and not make sense for either side.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are putting this out there for PR purposes, what I think.
It look nice.
Yeah. It's everything's good with him. He's not salty about it. We're open to bringing him back. When he takes a big contract elsewhere, they probably know he's going to get more money than they ever thought he was going to get. And he earned it. He went out and had a monster postseason. He won another cup. He earned it. They probably know he's going to get something ridiculous. And they can say, well, we were in and lines of communication were open, but, you know, he got a wild deal from Utah or whatever.
And that it makes it look like he's even entertaining a deal with them just makes both sides look nice. Everything's nice.
Right. Especially if they're still hurting over Keith's scoop from months ago, which I'm sure Rich is somewhere rooting very hard against Marchand's return. I asked you this earlier. Contract is the same. Toronto or Boston, where would you go if you're Marchand?
I would go to Toronto.
So I thought that was kind of a no-brainer when I said it.
Hate that from like a with your heart perspective, but look where the Bruins are right now. They're in the just early stages of a rebuild. Marchand's what, 37, 38?
Ish, yeah.
He's not going to want to go back into that, especially after what he just went through where he won the cup. Then he comes back here again. It's a backslide. Doesn't make sense.
Brad Marchand is 37. You were right there, Nick. 37 is exactly what that was. So, yeah, thank you. I would choose Toronto, and I wouldn't think twice about it. They were a way better team than the Bruins a year ago. I know the Bruins always beat them head-to-head in the postseason. You always had Marchand for that, FYI. And I think he'd be a really good fit on Toronto. I think that's a good place for him, to be honest. Utah, he'd really be taking that last paycheck. It would really blow up the idea that he cares about having his home in Charlestown and his kid in Charlestown.
Has he tried Dovetail Charlestown? It's a big question.
Ooh, the restaurant or the sandwich shop? I like both.
The restaurant. Haven't tried the sandwich
shop. They're both great. And so it would just blow all this to smithereens if he goes to a place like Utah. Toronto, I think, would be a really good fit, and he could be the missing piece to put them over the top. And you want to talk about a legacy.
Oh.
He won in Boston. where they won one time in 50 years. People actually look down their nose at the Leafs like you've won so many cups here. I know you beat them head-to-head in the playoffs. It's not like you've won a bunch here. One time in 50 years.
Yeah, but you beat them.
True. That's fair. But like the idea
that... You gotta look down your nose at somebody.
Toronto's some loser. Look at yourself. Then he goes to Florida, wins a second cup there, although he admittedly joined a wagon. What if you're the missing piece and you put Toronto over the top? You want to talk about a legacy.
I don't know the word that I can use is actually appropriate on radio, so I'll tell you at the break.
Oh, okay.
Good. Of what you'd be called. What you'd be called.
A BSD. That's what you'd be called. I get that. Brian is in Newton. Go ahead, Brian.
What's with the, hi, Brian.
Brian, hello.
You guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, sorry. I'm in the truck in Woburn.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about this one. I wanted to talk about this whole March. There's no way he's going to Toronto. There's no way he's going to Boston. The guy's at the end of his career. He's not going to pay taxes on a $7 million contract in Toronto. He's going to stay in Florida.
Okay. Brian, you might be right about that. And I wouldn't blame Marchand if he took a little less to stay in Florida. I don't think he's taking a significant discount to stay there. Personally.
So what do you think he would take to stay in Florida?
Like
to compete again?
What do we think his market is probably at? I think he
wanted mil and
I was going to say he wanted 7 from the Bruins. He wound up getting
7.
I don't know how I walked into that one. He wanted that number. The Bruins were offering him somewhere around 6, right? I think the belief was maybe even 6.3 to get cutesy with his 63 uniform number. So, everybody should be number 99.
So
I would imagine, yeah, that's a good point. When you come into the league, highest number imaginable. So
everybody wants the 90s.
I would say if he can get 8 somewhere else, maybe he'd take 7, 7.5 from Florida. But like, he's not taking 5. I don't think he's taking a deep discount. So call it maybe $1 million a year to stay in Florida. Caller brings up a good point. You're saving on taxes there, so maybe it all nets out in the end, which is really all I'd care about, my take home.
What if
not what is on paper?
It's 6 in Boston and open bar at Warren Tavern. Does that make the difference?
He probably doesn't have to spend much
of
any of these
places. What's
the place
where you had your 40th birthday?
Oh, that is Urban Wild is what
that maybe
is.
he gets free bowling at Urban Wild.
I heard he was there earlier that night. Did you hear that rumor? He was there the night of the
not
Jones'
only
40th
that,
birthday.
My husband saw him outside.
Sick brag, bro.
And got so excited he dropped his wallet.
And he was in a Jagr jersey, right?
Yeah.
Did Marchand compliment the Jagr jersey?
I don't know, but he got flustered, dropped his wallet.
Jagr jersey?
No, it was a sweet, like, I want to say powder blue Jagr jersey, right? Or was it a traditional?
I don't know. He's got so many of these stupid
It was a
jerseys.
Nice, whatever it was a nice jersey. I want to say
it was only here for like 30 games.
I want to say it was like a powder blue.
He asked me permission if he could wear that to your birthday party.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care. It's Jones' 40th birthday party. Wear whatever you want.
He's like, Jones isn't going to remember it. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, we went up to the door and we got ID'd. Brag.
Nice.
And then he had to turn around out on the street and find his wallet because he threw it up in the air when he saw Brad Marchand.
Excellent.
He was like Betty Boop. He was like, woo!
Like, I do not. That is a topical reference. I don't think he's going to be coming back anytime soon. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And Keith will have to deal with that bed and lay down in it if Marchand's back with the Bruins.
You should have him on as a guest.
Ooh.
Maybe you could do like some kind of
look if Carrabba's and Jaren Duran
thing.
Yeah. If Carrabba's and Jaren Duran can mend fences, I'm sure Keith and Marchand.
You and Jackie Bradley.
Me and Jackie Bradley mended fences. I don't know that he even knew there was a fence to mend.
No, he didn't.
But
I heard
know.
Marcus Smart's publicist got after you.
He did. That was at the road show in Newport. Yes, mm-hmm. That is true. It was. I think it ended up fairly well.
I don't know
what you heard on that end, but yeah. I think that ended up fairly well. But yeah, that'd be like if Marcus Smart came back here in a hypothetical Anthony Simons trade. That could be problematic. 617-779-7937. More thoughts on the Red Sox and Bruins if you want to jump in. And we have the latest on the Celtics. Free agency starts tonight at 6. We'll do that next.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. collect your favorites, and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.